Thank you, Miss Tabitha. We can get an invitation after that song. Amen. So much truth in there. We can trust him. Our next speaker we have for you in this session is a gentleman by the name of Jeff Glazeman. He and his wife, Miss Esther, have been in the building ministry for 21 years. Been married for 47 years, coming up here in a couple days, about 3 days from now, they'll be married 47 years. And for those of you who are maybe not familiar with them, I can promise you this, you know someone who is familiar with them, because they are known all across this country. People know, they are known, my goodness, I mean, everywhere across this country, they're known. He was telling me, make the Lord give him something, but he told me he hadn't been to California yet. So I'm just saying, you know, if there's a church out there, he's shaking his head over there saying, no. I know he's been down in Arizona and other places, and they are a tremendous blessing. I'm telling you, you see two people who have faith in God, and you can see it, and the things they've gone through in life, and you talk about bitterness and having bitterness in your heart and things, asking God why. Why does this happen? Why did this happen? And they have a testimony, and they're desire to just serve the Lord is amazing to me, and seeing what they've gone through. And I tease them all the time because I said, you are never going to forget our building. That's what, never going to forget us for sure. And those of you who know the testimony of what's happened with the Glazemans while they're on our building ministry, you understand why that's the case. He's got some hardware he'll show you if you want to see it later on. You can see those things. Brother Glazeman, when he got here, what he told me was, you take care of the preaching, I'll take care of the building. I've messed that up a couple times, and he's been like, you probably just need to go take care of the preaching, and I'll take care of the building. That's probably been more times than not he's thought that, as I tried to help in best ways I can. But I appreciate him and his wife so much. They have a tremendous, tremendous testimony. When we had them in and were talking about the building, that was 3 years ago, we had them in talking about the building, and he gave us his testimony on adopting their daughter. And I'm going to tell you what. It was stirring, and at that moment, I said, "If it works out where I can get him, I'm going to ask him if he'll give his testimony." And I asked him, and he kind of gave me that blank stare for a minute, kind of like, "That's not what I do." And I said, "Well, I said, just pray about it. Just pray about what you'd have." And what I really asked him to pray about was, and to give a testimony on, is that, you know, adoption is not easy. God makes it possible, but it's not always easy. If God leads you down the direction of adoption, understand this, there's going to be hard days. There's going to be struggles. It might not all go perfectly. And you may wonder, you know, Lord, is this actually going to work? There's days that happens. So Brother Glazeman's going to come. He's going to give his testimony today. So I appreciate him so much taking the time and doing this for us today. Let's welcome him. Make sure you know we appreciate him.
Well, you know, the Bible says that God goes out and looks for the lame, the halt, and the blind. So I got pretty much that pretty well covered. So, no, it's amazing what God will allow you to do if you just say yes to him. And I appreciate all the messages so far. It's been a tremendous blessing to my heart. But anyway, I just want to tell you about our adoption story. Now, I want you to bear with me because I can't use names or specific dates to help protect the privacy of other individuals that were involved. But after finding out that we couldn't have children, we considered adoption. And it wasn't long after that a friend of us told us about a young lady who was willing to give up her baby for adoption. Our attorney was able to provide documents for a private adoption for about $200 to $300. Keep in mind, that was over 40 years ago. My wife and I signed, as well as the birth mother, in August, and our daughter was born about a month later. In our case, our health insurance paid for the medical expenses, so all we had to pay for was the deductible. As soon as the medical bills were paid and the hospital would dismiss her, we picked our daughter up. She was 22 hours old. It was love at first sight, and we were a family now, and not just a couple. It would be several months after the baby's birth before the adoption would be finalized. During this time, we completed the mandatory home study. Our attorney filed the paperwork with the county clerk, or with the county court. He tried to get the man listed on the birth certificate to agree to adoption as well. The alleged birth father refused, saying that he was not the father of the baby. The day before the adoption, a young man showed up at our door wanting to see his child. We did not allow him to see her and immediately called our attorney. Instead of the adoption being finalized, it was now contested adoption. As you can imagine, we were terrified of losing our baby. The two-day trial was held before a judge in January of 1984. Witnesses, including the birth mother, were called to testify. During the testimony, the birth mother said that she would take the baby back before she would ever allow the plaintiff to get custody. She stated that she was emotionally and physically abused while she was pregnant. Our attorney argued that the young man had repeatedly said that he was not the father. Following the hearing, the judge said he would let us know when he had rendered his decision. In the meantime, we were awarded full custody of the child until the judge had rendered his decision. So we waited, and we waited. Many prayers were said during this time. We prayed, our extended family prayed, our church family prayed, that we would be allowed to keep our daughter. It was 2.5 months later that we received the news from the judge that he had ruled in our favor. We were elated and praised God. The adoption was final. It was later that we learned the reason for the decision took so long, that because it was the first adoption case tried under a new state law, the law required the father to provide emotional and financial support to the mother, even 6 months prior to the baby being born. If this was not done, the father had no rights to the child. The judge had to be sure of this decision because it would set precedents for all future adoption cases in our state. Our happiness was short-lived when just a few months after we were informed that an appeal was filed with the district court. There were no witnesses at this hearing, only the attorneys presenting their cases. There was new information that came to light during the appeal. The alleged birth father was Native American. This fact was not brought up in the original trial, so that information cannot be used in the appeal. But because it was possible that the tribe could have stepped in and we would have lost custody of our daughter. Again, we waited and prayed. The district court upheld the county court's decision and we retained custody. By this time, our daughter was almost 1.5 years old and we set about living life. It was in the spring of 1985 that we were informed that the case again had been appealed, this time to the state Supreme Court. Of course, all these cases cost money, and our simple $300 adoption was a distant memory. Our attorney was able to argue our case before the Supreme Court, and the appeal was decided in June with a ruling in our favor. Unfortunately, the appeals were not over. On our daughter's second birthday, we reserved papers that the case had been again appealed to the United States Supreme Court. This time, our attorney had to find a new law firm that could argue before the United States Supreme Court. This was an expensive endeavor, but we had a generous family who helped out with the expenses. The Supreme Court refused to hear the case, so we thought the cases were over. When our daughter was three, we moved to another town following our attorney's suggestion. The alleged birth father knew where we lived, and several times we had to leave our home in a hurry because the attorney would notify us when the alleged birth father was in town. He would show up and file petitions against us, especially around holidays. Our attorney said that he was concerned that the alleged birth father did not seem to accept the court's decision and that he might do something drastic or illegal. Fortunately, this scenario never happened, but it made us very cautious. The last petition filed against us was in May of 1987, when our daughter was 4.5 years old. Through these years of uncertainty, we prayed and our faith became stronger. We realized that God loved our daughter even more than we did, no matter what happened. We could pray for her soul and that she will one day receive Christ. Of course, we wanted to continue to bring up our little girl that we love so much. We wanted to bring her up in church and to see her to come to know and love our Lord. Our prayers were answered, and our daughter accepted Christ when she was a child. Now I want to fast forward about 20 years. I was serving the Lord full time in the building ministry and helping build independent Baptist churches. We had been called by a small church to help build a new church building. The interim pastor of this church would help struggling churches that were in between permanent pastors. It was during lunch one day when the pastor's wife asked me, "How many children do you have?" And for some reason, I told her how we adopted our daughter and some of the details. The pastor's wife turned to her husband and she said, "You don't suppose that was Patty's baby?" And I said, "You mean Patty Smith?" They were astonished. The pastor explained that he was the pastor of the birth mother when she was pregnant. He said many, many hours they had prayed, sometimes all night long, trying to decide if it was the right thing to give this baby up for adoption. They had always wondered whether it was the right decision to give this baby up for adoption. Our daughter and her fiance were able to come and visit this dear pastor and his wife. We praise the Lord for his mercy in allowing us to raise our daughter. Today, our daughter has been married for 19 years, has a wonderful husband, two great grandchildren. They're great to us anyway. She is active in the church that she grew up in. She plays the piano and the oboe in the church orchestra and teaches seventh grade history and geography. Remember, the Lord has a plan for your life, and sometimes it takes unexpected turns. Sometimes it can be very hard to understand, but you can trust that God always knows what is best. Thank you.
The spiritual growth that we can have, amen? The struggles and trials, it's amazing what God can do. And you look back on it, and the Glazemans would have never asked for that to be brought upon them, to go through all that. But you see what God can do. Amen, you see it. It can be struggles, amen? It's not guaranteed to be easy for us. When we endure the things that we go through, the things that we endure, it's not always easy, but God, as we've seen this week, is sufficient. And he's sufficient to do those things. And, man, the answered prayers that were in that testimony. You think about the answered prayers all across the country of people who prayed and sought God's face. You know, if you choose, and this is what I always tell people, they say, well, how do we know? How do we know what we're supposed to do? Do we, if we can't have our own children, do we foster, do we adopt? What do we do? And I tell them, and it seems like such a simple answer, just pray about it. Yeah, just pray. And don't do anything until you know what you're supposed to do. And then when you know what you're supposed to do, and God opens the door, you go with it with everything you have. You go for it. You don't let anything stop you. Do you get God's desire in your life? Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. I'm not any better at this part. I'm just more comfortable at this part. Preaching, I'm more comfortable with. Moderating, I'm not so comfortable with. Again, no promise I'm any better at it, but I'm more comfortable with it. Judges chapter 13. Look in verse number 1 where it says this. Judges chapter 13 and verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the Lord shall be the child shall be a Nazarite unto God, and that from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. We'll talk about for you this moment, physical or spiritual. Where does your help come from? Physical or spiritual, where does your help come from? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony today. We thank you for all that you've done in this meeting already. I ask that you bless us now in this time to just these few moments now. We have the opportunity to give to these people what you've given to me, and I ask that you'd help us through it, that it might encourage, it might strengthen, it might do exactly what you want it to do today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In these things, the truth is life can be overwhelming. The overall point of this message, I'm going to give it to you right now, okay, so you can build upon it as we go on. Life can be overwhelming. There is nothing wrong, okay, please get this. You need to understand this. I'm going to build upon this point so I make it understandable for you. Life can be overwhelming. It is not wrong to be overwhelmed with life. It is wrong to stay there. Look, this life's overwhelming. Problems, issues, things that come in our life, it overwhelms us. It can come to the point where we sit and cry. Amen. We sit and cry over the things that we can't have, over sicknesses, over illness. We are overwhelmed. Sometimes we feel like, well, that's just not spiritual. Well, I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you read in the Bible, but life is overwhelming. The practice is to figure out, how do I not stay there? That's where the sin begins. Amen. The sin begins when I stay in that place, when I allow that to stop me, and I allow it to overwhelm me, and I allow it to then become an issue for me that continues on. That's when life happens. You know, the reality of our problems, whether it be sickness or infertility, loss of a loved one, our minds want to focus, come on, you get me, on the physical response. That's where our desire goes to. If someone's sick, hey, we need to go to the doctor. If we have infertility problems, we need to go to the doctor. If we have this problem, we have that problem, whatever it is, we need to find a solution. And we go first to the physical almost every single time. That's our natural response, is to go to the physical. One thing I've understood about this, raising children can draw you upon the physical. Amen? Come on. Does raising children take anything out of you? Yeah. Amen, it does. Okay, it takes some things out of us. Okay, it takes some energy to do that. And sometimes we can rely way too much on the physical. We're talking about raising children, doing these things. It's the response. Manoah and his wife were told the physical attributes they were supposed to heed during pregnancy, and then after the child was born, God gave them the physical things they needed to do. But this was going to be a very special birth to a very special young man. Can I just say, all children are special? Every single one of them. There are miracles. Come on, if you ever go studying how children are born, come on, it is a miracle that any of us ever survived to be born and then live in this world. It's a miracle that it happens. And they are miracles from God, every single one of them. So whether God allows you to have them naturally or through adoption, the moment God gives you the child you desire, you know a special connection that you never understood before. I love my wife. I do. Okay? I really do. I mean, you don't have to look at me like I'm lying. I really do love her. Okay? I tease her a lot. Okay? We tease each other a lot. That's part of our marriage. We tease each other a lot. But we do love each other. I don't remind myself of that I do try to remind her every once in a while that I love her. And there was the moment we met our children, there was a connection there I had never felt before. Come on. My wife and I know you think this. My wife and I, the first time I met her, it was not love at first sight. Okay? She was a mean little girl in school. Okay? We've known each other since we were about 8 years old. It was not love at first sight. Okay? She was mean. Okay? It was not love at first sight. I never knew love at first sight existed until I laid my eyes on my children. And then it was, this is what this is. It's love at first sight. And many of you can say the exact same thing. However God has given you your children, it was love at first sight. Instantaneously. Brother Glazeman gave that testimony tonight, this morning. He saw his daughter. This is it. This is it. This is love. This is what it is. But in the midst of child raising, longing for a child, longing for more children, mourning the loss of a loved one, we can begin to lean far too much on the physical and not the spiritual side of these things. So I want to speak for a few moments on the dangers of leaning upon the physical and ask this question: where does your help come from? Where does it come from? You know, adoption can be difficult and complicated. It can be, and it is for some in some ways. You know, this means that we have to have a heart and are praying for God to lead in this. You know, if you yourself are going through adoption, you know somebody who's going through adoption or desiring to foster, or desiring to adopt, hey, pray for them. If you know someone who doesn't have children, man, you pray for them. Come on, I know people in this church who prayed for years for children. And God bless those things. God bless that. God bless that prayer of you praying for them. And that's what we can do. I know couples, unfortunately, and this is where some of the bad connotation towards adoption comes, because I know parents who have gotten carried away with adoption and took on too much. You say, was it not God's will for them to do it? I don't know. I can't tell you that part. I don't know. But I know this. They became overwhelmed with what they took on. A man in this room, he likens it to preaching. I'm going to liken it to this. But a man in this room says that a burden and a need is not a call. There's a burden and need everywhere. Everywhere you look. You know, every man in this room can be a preacher who's qualified, and we still wouldn't meet the need and the burden, amen? But you know, neither one of those things are a call to be a pastor. And I want you to know this about this same thing about fostering or adopting. The burden and the need does not equal a call to go do it. It equals the need to pray that children would be saved. You know, we have no idea what would happen to the Glazeman's children, the Glazeman's daughter. Had they not opened their home? We have no idea. We know now. We know God had a plan. And that's the case for children. We don't know what their future would have been. All we can do is pray they end up in a home where they would hear the gospel message. They would be in church. They'd find those things. So there may be a case. There can be a case made, man, that what you're going through today is going to rescue a child from eternity in hell. It's going to rescue a child and give them an opportunity to hear the gospel when they would have never heard it. Because of what you're going through today. Because of what you're enduring today. The pain of today rescuing someone tomorrow. Say, we ask the question why. That's the physical response. Amen. When you don't get what you want, the physical response is say, God, why? We see it in our own scriptures right here. We see the fact that, I love the response of the angel here when it comes to him and starts talking to Manoah's wife and said, hey, you can't bear children. Thank you for that information. Thank you for reminding me of what I'm dealing with and praying about. Thank you for reminding me. I didn't realize that. I thought I had them all over the place. That wasn't the reason he said it. The reason he said it was, hey, there's a reason. There's a reason you couldn't have children until now. It wasn't because you're a sinner. It wasn't because God doesn't love you. It wasn't because any of those things. It wasn't because God hates you and is punishing you. It wasn't because God loves other people more. So he's answering their prayer request. It's because it was designated for this moment in time for you to bear this son at this exact moment. God has a plan. God has a plan for your life, for our lives, for every single... Do you realize that God has a plan for every single child born on this planet? He has a plan for their life. And they, it's not a mistake when they were born. Mom, I look at the way I think sometimes and think, maybe I should have been born about 300 years ago. Some of the ways I think. And I say, no, I was born in the right time. Amen. I was born in the right time. God puts us exactly where he wants us to. Come on. We've got to just be willing to accept where God has and the plan he has for us in that moment. It is estimated there are 3 million children living in foster care situations around the world. That's a lot of need. Do we have a burden for them? Are we praying for them? We don't know their names. I don't know the names of all the children in foster care in Missouri, let alone around the world. Can I give you a burden tonight, though, this afternoon? Can I give you a burden to pray? To ask God to provide hearts, open hearts for these children, that they might have a home to hear the gospel, they might have a home to call their own, they might have peace, they might have this in their life. As our booklet points out, almost 400,000 children are living in foster care in the United States today. 400,000 children. And that's a burden, friends. That's a need. It's a burden. It's a need that we should be praying about as a church. As churches all across this nation should be praying about and asking God, Lord, help. Lord, help. There's a great need for adoption and foster care. But again, a need is not a call. A burden is not a call to action. It's a call to pray for those children. I would ask you to open your heart to it. To open your heart to it. I said this in our very first meeting. I said, you know, if you're able to have children, God has blessed you with children and you can have them with no issues. Praise the Lord for that. But would you consider adoption? Would you consider, even if you can have children, would you consider adoption? To add to your family? You know, we look at it and we think it's so complicated. Amen? Hey, you can figure it out. I promise. You can figure it out. Come on, that is not to discourage you, to prepare you, but it's to say, to pray about adoption. Pray about what God would have you do. Pray about your part in this. And then proceed and find the way that God would have you to give. Say, okay, God, if this is the direction, then you'll provide the way for us to do this. Because you have all the answers to these things. I want you to think about this. In our text today, we just read the first portion of this, and that's all we're going to really get into today is that first portion. We'll just talk about the rest of it. But we think about Manoah and his wife were given this tremendous responsibility. Hey, you're going to give birth to the deliverer of the nation of Israel. This is what it's going to be. And these are the confines you're supposed to do this. Do these things. And as I mentioned in the beginning of these things, I mentioned this fact that parenting can be overwhelming in this moment. That God gives you these children. And I think one of the things we can do, if you can't have children today, you know what you can be doing? You're preparing yourself for that opportunity. Not just preparing to get the child, but actually preparing to raise the child as well. You know, parenting can be overwhelming. You know, there are moms in this room that I'm guessing every once in a while, maybe once a year, you feel overwhelmed. It's not very often, right? Not very often that you feel overwhelmed. There are dads who feel like, I have no idea what I'm doing. You ever had that moment? Have you ever had the moment when you woke up and you went, that worked yesterday. These little creatures that I brought into my home, they adapt. Oh, amen? They adapt to you. And what worked yesterday doesn't work today. Come on, what? And then sometimes I go back to old things that I used to do. Every once in a while I'll throw a curveball at them. I'll go back to something I used to do. And it doesn't work near as long as it did the first time. They're constantly adapting to everything we're doing. And we're trying to do this. You know, it's one thing, and I'll caution you on this. It's one thing to speak about being overwhelmed as a parent. It's another thing to complain about being a parent. We need to be very careful. If you're in the midst of someone who's dealing with the heartache of not being able to have children, you start complaining about yours, that person looks at you, and first of all, they say, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never had the opportunity to be able to complain about what you're complaining about, the gift that God has given you. Does that mean you should never be overwhelmed? No, that's not what I'm saying. Well, we should never complain about the gift that God's given to us. The thing that God has allowed us to have in our life. Oh, and asking for advice from your pastor or people who have raised children is wise. And as parents, we need that sometimes. You know, I counseled a couple, and this is a few years ago, and it doesn't matter where it was. But I counseled a couple who had adopted, and they had a really hard time with the kids. They were struggling with mental issues from their adopted children. And they went to a support group, and the adoptive parents looking for help and trying to express their troubles, and everyone in that group, just all they want to do is talk about the joy of adoption. And this couple is struggling with everything they have. They're struggling with parenting the children they adopted. Hey, there is tremendous joy in adoption. Tremendous joy, okay? But there's struggles too. Hey, there's tremendous joy in having children, and there's struggles too. They're struggling these things. Hey, it's all right to be overwhelmed as long as you know where your help comes from. It's not always just about physically fixing the problem. You know, it's amazing to me that we will struggle and struggle as parents. We will struggle with our children, whether it be in obedience or learning or whatever it is, we'll struggle. And we think, well, we need to change this. We're forming all these plans. Where are we doing with the prayer? What are we doing? We're praying for my child for God to get a hold of their heart. Or we're praying about it to take care of the overwhelming nature of this. Being a parent to one or multiple children is messy and challenging all at the same time. That's not an excuse to give up or complain all the time, but it is overwhelming at times. This is what I was thinking about this week when I was thinking about this and putting these things together. You know, I find that people have no problem. Let me ask you, if you work a secular job, do you just find joy every day in your secular job? Or do sometimes you get overwhelmed in your secular job? It does sometimes, right? Get overwhelmed in a secular job. And you probably complain about your secular job. Probably shouldn't do that either. But you complain about your secular job. You know, when we manage these things, And we have this understanding that we are dealing with the problems and the issues and the things that we're dealing with. What we need to understand is what we need to realize is we need help. Well, we need help. Not just physical help, we need help. You know, when we think about the overwhelming nature of the physical needs, the problems we have, the things that we are dealing with in our lives, we can understand it's complicated. It's messy sometimes. It's issue. And sometimes we complain or we talk about things in our secular jobs. And men, especially if your wife works outside the home or she's a homemaker and you get home, sometimes guess what? She's overwhelmed. You walk in the door, she's overwhelmed. We've got to be conscious to every aspect of our home, for ourselves, for our wives, for our children, to understand, to seek the nature of the overwhelming nature of this life. And hey, it's not always a physical response. Sometimes a physical response does absolutely no good. It's getting on our face before God and saying, God, can you help me? Can you shed some light on what I can do for this? Can you give me some guidance and some strength to be able to endure these things, to be able to figure out these things? Now, when we talk about the overwhelming nature of physical issues, you know, you may have a physical issue here today. You may be sick. Amen? You may be sick, or you may have someone who's listening may be sick. You know, doctors and the medical field are a gift from God. I have no doubt about that. God gives the doctors wisdom. I am not anti-doctor by any means. Okay, I want you to understand that first and foremost. I'm not an anti-doctor person at all. But they have learned and understand how to help is amazing. But they cannot be where our help comes from. They can't be. My wife and I went to the doctors. After about 10 years of marriage, we started thinking maybe there's something physically restraining us, and maybe there's something the doctors can do. So we went to the doctors, and they ran some tests and tried some things and tried to discover a pathway to conception. And what we found was this. What we found was this. As we prayed and we sought God's face, God completely shut the door on doctors. I mean, slammed the door on doctors. And he said, that's not your direction. Oh, come on. That's not your direction. I'm not saying it's not the direction for you and your family. But it's not the direction for you to go down. Doctors are not the answer. That's not where your help is going to come from. It's your doctors. My point is this. We need to be prayer about what God would have us do, because it's not always a physical response. My heart goes that direction. That's the easy way. Just to go that direction. Just say, hey, just do this. Take this pill. Do these things. Do this. And whatever you're dealing with, just do this. We want a physical, we want to do something to fix the problem. And sometimes God comes along, if we're praying about it and not just counting on the physical, but we're truly praying about it and spiritually assessing, God, what is your desire? Sometimes God comes along and says, there is no answer physically. There's always one spiritual. It's always one we can count on God and say, okay, God, the answer's not here. It may be there. If you pray about it, hey, we're independent Baptists. You can do whatever you want to do. But just know this. When you're going down this course, you've got to keep your mind open to the fact of what does God desire? In this moment in time, Manoah and his wife were given these, I'll call it a template, amen, a template for raising their son. During pregnancy, you don't drink this. Don't do this. Don't do these things. After he's born, don't cut his hair. Don't let him drink this or do these things or touch the unclean things. No, he gave them the physical parameters for raising this child and the way this child was supposed to live after that. Oh, amen. He gave them those physical parameters. Amen. And God does the same thing with us. He gives us physical parameters. Do you realize that physical parameters will do nothing for your child spiritually? They'll guide them. They might even make them moral. But there's another ingredient we've got to add in that says, God, we need more than the physical. We need spiritual help. I need you to soften my child's heart. I need you to train them up. I need you to help them remember where their help comes from. Do you realize my children's help does not come from the piece of plastic in my wallet? But sometimes that's the mentality they get. That'll just solve our problems, that piece of plastic in his wallet. That's how God will solve, that's how dad will solve our problems. That is not what I want my children to understand. Their provision does not come from that. That is not where it comes from. It's got to be something greater than that. Manoah and his wife raised Samson to understand he could do certain things physically, but he had to be a man of God. Say, do you think Samson was saved? He had a relationship with the Lord. Called upon the Lord several times during his lifespan. He goes to the book of Judges, about these four chapters here, and you can see God, he called upon God, and God answered that. He had a relationship with the Lord. But Samson relied far too much on the physical and not near enough on the spiritual. You can say this. Do you blame Manoah and his wife for Samson's failures? No. They raised their son. He had a relationship with the Lord. They raised him that way. Was there some things they failed at? Are there some things you failed at as parents? Because there's some failures I've had. I'm human just like you, so we all have failures. Could they have done a better job? Absolutely. And so could I. And so could every other parent on the face of this planet. We could do better. But at some point, your children have a free will to choose their own direction. But if you train them up in the physical nature, not the spiritual nature, you're going to have a lot more problems. There's got to be a spiritual nature. We must teach them that our help comes from the Lord. Samson's great power did not come from his hair. But that's everything we see from his knowledge of where his power came from was from his hair. He talks about it over and over and over and over again. And even once, and this was always the question that I had, when he had his haircut there, did he lose his power because of the haircut? No, he lost his power because that's what he was trusting in for his power. Oh, come on. He was trusting in a physical thing for his power and not in God. And God said this, hey, I can take that away from you in a second, son. Everything physical you're counting on today, if that's what you're counting on, can be taken away from you in an instant. You know, how many parents are stressed and overwhelmed? How many homeschool teachers are overwhelmed on a daily basis? How many are overwhelmed with sickness and physical pain? How many waiting for children and you don't understand why God won't answer our genuine desire. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Look at now in verse number 28 there. Judges chapter 16 and verse number 28. This is the end of Samson's life. This is the end of Samson's life, the end of the story. It says this in verse number 28. And Samson called unto the Lord, and the Lord said, and said, O Lord, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took a hold of the middle of the pillars upon which the house stood and upon which he had borne, the one on his right hand and the other on his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. You know what you find in this text? You find repentance. Finally turns to the Lord and said, I get it. It came from you. It was all yours the entire time. It wasn't mine. It was yours. Will you give it to me one more time? Will you let me do what I was supposed to do in the first place? Will you let me do that? Samson repented of his failure as a man. He accomplished more, as the Bible text tells, he accomplished more as a humble man than all that he did relying upon his strength. Where does your help come from? Are you overwhelmed today? Maybe it's time to repent of relying on the physical so much and say, God, I know where my help comes from, but I have moved away from the place of your provision. It is time to return. Maybe you're physically hurting, and you have turned to the physical for the answer. Maybe it's time to ask God to help. Maybe you're waiting for God to move, and there's some physical hindrance from you being able to have a child, but you've been doing everything you can physically to change that. Maybe it's time to turn to God and say, you know what, God? Let's just rely upon you. Repentance is just simply a change in direction. What I'm saying today is this. Look into your life and ask yourself, what am I relying upon? Where is my help coming from in every area of my life? And I can promise you this. If you look into your life and you're struggling in some area, it's probably because you're relying upon physical way too much. Not that life's easy. It's not going to take away all of your problems. But I can promise you this, God has the answer. But he gives one caveat to it. You've got to rely upon me. What you must do. Let's pray.